Jesus came to Galilee, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The time is fulfilled, Jesus says, and that means not just ordinary time, but God's time. The time of creative transformation, the time of new possibilities, the moment of becoming that is filled to overflowing with the energy of God's love. The time when God will do a new thing and now it bursts forth. That time is filled full, Jesus says. And that means that the kingdom of God, the active, reigning presence of God right here and now, right in the midst of every ordinary thing, God's reign is near now. God is moving in the world now, Jesus says. And what we must do to be part of that movement, Jesus says, is to repent. And because we repent, therefore, to believe in that good news. Now, usually, when we hear the word repent, what we think of right away is something negative. Typically, we think of repentance as being sorry for our sins, or beating our breasts for our failures, or bargaining with God, that we will never, ever, ever do anything bad again so long as God just this once gets us out of this mess we've gotten ourselves into. We usually think of repentance in the purely negative sense of turning away from that which is sinful or evil or bad. But the word that Mark uses in the original language of this passage means much more than just turning away. The original word is metanoia. And what that word means, translated literally, is a change of mind. It's to change your way of thinking, to be transformed in the habits of the heart by means of which you recognize and respond to yourself and your neighbor and your world and your God. Metanoia means not just turning away from what is bad, but transforming toward what is good. It means being opened up to new ways of thinking and feeling and behaving that participate in God's own goodness. And repentance in that sense leads precisely to believing in the good news. You know, our English word believe is actually related to the word beloved. And that means that to believe is not just to accept something as true even though you can't logically prove it, but to believe is to give your heart. It is to place your trust. And it is to pledge yourself in your turn to be true and trustworthy too. So to repent and believe is to be transformed in the way we are mindful of God so that we give our heart and put our trust in the way God is with us. We give our heart and put our trust in the way God's grace acts in and around and through us. We give our heart and put our trust in the way God's love lifts us up when we are beaten down and rejoices in heaven when we are made whole. We give our heart and put our trust in the way God empowers us to reach out beyond just ourselves and be built together into a beloved community. All of that is what Jesus means when he says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And I think a perfect example of that kind of repentance and belief comes in the call of the first disciples. When Jesus meets Simon and Andrew and James and John, his first words are not, "Be sorry for your sins, and then you can follow me." His first words are not, "Accept these propositions about me, and then I will let you be my disciples." But his first words are, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." I will make you fish for people. You see, Jesus recognizes Simon and Andrew and James and John for who they are, fishermen, uneducated, ordinary men, as the book of Acts calls them, working guys who are decent enough, but who are not religiously trained and probably not ritually or morally quite pure. Jesus recognizes them exactly for who they are, and Jesus calls them exactly for who they are. Jesus calls them to be who they are, but to be who they are in a new and a bigger way. I will make you fish for people, Jesus says. I will take the skills and abilities and know-how and experiences and personalities that you already have, and I will put them to a new purpose. I will fill them with a new meaning. I will take them up to work the work that God is working in the world. That is the sort of metanoia to which Jesus calls Simon and Andrew and James and John. Not that they should turn away from everything their lives had been. Not that they should reject the thoughts and feelings and actions that had brought them this far in life. But that they can be transformed in their mindfulness. They can wake up to the love of God that is already around them and in them and with them everywhere they go. And therefore, their own actions can become instruments of that greater godly love. Follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you able to be who you are in a new and bigger and God-centered way. And so they gave their hearts to him, and they trusted him, and they left their nets and followed him. And their lives became fulfilled with more love and more spirit and more risk and more strangeness and more challenge and more joy than they had ever imagined possible. Repent and believe and follow me, Jesus says. And today, Jesus says that to us too. This gospel asks us, how can we repent and believe and follow? How can we transform our way of thinking so that we give our hearts to the way of Jesus and learn how to be ourselves in a new and bigger and more godly way following him? How might Jesus take up everything we are and make us living signs and active instruments of God's reign of justice and peace and love in our world here and now? Well, one piece of that, maybe not the whole of it, but certainly one big piece of that in our time and place, is taking all the gifts and skills and talents we have and using them to build and to rebuild a sense of genuine community in our neighborhoods and towns and associations and county and state and nation. You know, more and more it seems to me as though our society is fracturing. And what before had been just polarization of opinion is becoming more and more outright enmity and hostility and violence. The way we speak about each other, the words we use for each other, the way we think about each other, which of course influences the way we act toward each other, seems more and more to be breaking down into vulgarity and manipulation and evasion and lies. And it seems to me that I am seeing that on all levels of our society, from politics to government, and they are not the same thing. They look a lot alike sometimes, but politics and government are not the same thing. To letters to the editor, to social media posts, to rallies in public parks, to exchanges on the street. In so many ways, we seem today to be treating each other as rivals and enemies, rather than neighbors and sisters and brothers in the love of one loving God. But we do not need to stand idly by while that happens. And we do not need to be part of that happening either. Jesus calls us to something better. Jesus calls us to transform the habits of our heart by which we recognize each other. Jesus calls us to give our hearts, to trust that God wants love and well-being for all of us, each and every single one of us. Jesus calls us to take the skills we do actually have, skills like speaking and listening and paying attention and being with people and learning about each other and being neighborly and spending thoughtfully and giving generously and making community. And whether you realize it or not, the simple fact that you come to Holy Communion week after week means that you actually know something about how to make community. You really do. Jesus calls us to take the skills we do actually have and to put them to a higher purpose, following Jesus, reaching out across divisions of race or class or gender or party or self-identification to build up the genuine, beloved community of God. Jesus calls us to repent and believe and follow him, because this time is filled full and God's new possibilities are at hand. So how will you change your heart? How will you reach out? How will you follow Jesus this week? Amen.